The Dallas Cowboys acquired Stephon Gilmore, former defensive player of the year, via trade. What does that mean for their draft plans, and how will that affect their offseason? We're going to discuss it next on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, family? Welcome back to Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your favorite podcast talking about and discussing and covering your favorite NFL draft prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, it's your boy Damian Parsons. You can find me on Twitter at DP underscore NFL. I'm always on the ones and twos every time you tune into this show. And of course, I'm the National Scout for the Draft Network and your local and favorite running back guru. There's no one else better. Remember that. And of course, we're talking championship rings and things with my dog, Keith Sanchez. Keith, talk to him, baby.
Man, what's up, everyone? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst at the Draft Network, man. Like my guy DP always says, 2019 national champ. Yes, those LSU Tigers. DP, man, it was free agency day two. And I say day two was more active than day one, man. We had Stephon Gilmore to the Cowboys. We got Darren Waller to the Giants. And we got Austin Ekeler seeking a trade. But DP, we're going to kick this thing up with them Cowboys, man. Stephon Gilmore to the Cowboys. What's your thoughts about that? Them filling a need, and then also where do they turn their attention to in the draft?
Man, like Keith, when I saw the news, you know, I saw the news break, I was like, man, this could be draft altering for the Cowboys, because Stephon, you know, not Stephon Diggs, but Trayvon Diggs, as he's emerged as one of the better and, you know, cornerbacks in the league and a guy that you want to be careful testing, right? Because he'll take the ball away. Nope. What the offenses start to do? They start to say, okay, quarterbacks start picking on Anthony Brown, who was across the field from him. So we knew coming into the draft season that cornerback was going to be a major need for them, right? One of those top two needs. But to get Stephon Gilmore from the Colts is big, Keith, because he's still playing at a high level, former defensive player of the year, a cornerback, which is extremely hard to do with today's NFL, right? It typically goes to those edge rushers or those defensive linemen that have 18, 19, 20 sacks in the season and 100 pressures. So being able to get him, this guy's a champion, so he's going to bring that leadership and championship pedigree to this defense and to this locker room, man. I'm excited for Dallas to get this guy and have him. Now you got two bookend corners, Keith. Now you ain't got to work. You don't have to go into the draft. Remember I talked about on the last episode, right? What you don't do when you go into the grocery store, you don't go in there hungry because you're going to overpay. You're going to spend too much money. Well, the Cowboys are going to go into the draft, aka the grocery store, and they've already had a snack, Keith.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this was This is an overall good signing or a good trade, right, for the Dallas Cowboys. And this is something that they haven't done in the past. The Dallas Cowboys has kind of treated the offseason relatively quiet, right, this new age Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys in the past, they was acquiring T.O. and Pac-Man Jones and Brandon Carr. And, you know, they was all over the place, man. But I think they didn't see good return on investment from those signings, pickups, trades, however they acquired those players. So they've kind of been playing it more passive in the offseason when there need to be times where they need to be aggressive. I think this was aggressive, but it was a calculated aggression, right? It was filling a need. It was not overpaying. It was getting a football player that's still playing well. And then it's another thing, DP. I thought about Patrick Peterson. And the reason I thought about Patrick Peterson was this. Everybody thought Patrick Peterson was washed with the Cardinals. Then he got to Vikings. Then he played more of a zone type scheme. He didn't have to play man to man, so it didn't stress him as much athletically. And I think about the same thing with Stephon Gilmore, man. Cover three is a lot easier than just rolling press man, right?
Because he said that a couple years ago.
Yeah, you can play some off coverage. You can do different things. You know, there's a safety, you know, whether he's playing that deep third or he's playing underneath, like you kind of understand those dynamics. So I think this, man, I think if the cover three scheme can kind of, you know, mask some things for Stephon Gilmore, I mean, for Trayvon Diggs, I think it could definitely help Stephon Gilmore. Now, moving into the draft, we know they have another need, DP. They have to get a wide receiver, man. So I wonder if that clears up room for them to be like, hey, you know what? We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to get a wide receiver. So for this Dallas Cowboys offensive unit. I'm talking about a team with, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just thinking about it. Or could they possibly be going for a running back? Like, and I want to know, does this open this up? Because we don't know what they're going to do with Zeke, right? And then they also need a wide receiver. So this gives them a clear opportunity to go up an offensive skill position. I want to know, DP, from your opinion, what direction do you think the Dallas Cowboys should go with this?
I think they should go wide receiver, Keith. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to take it a step further. Not just go wide receiver, get aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Try and move up a couple more spots inside the top 20, right? Because just in case of Quentin Johnston, for whatever reason, he starts to slip, maybe past 15, right? And it's like, well, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity. He would mesh well and pair well with CeeDee Lamb, right? But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to throw another position too. You said running back. What about tight end, right? Dalton Schultz is not coming back. And I mean, I don't blame him because I wouldn't bring him back either. So you know, I feel like he was just such a product of the environment rather than being just the environment, you know, producing around, you know, with him. I feel like he was a product of it. So for me, I feel like tight end should be on their marker too, whether that's Dalton Kincaid, Luke Musgrave, or even Michael Mayer. If all the receivers that you view highly, if you're Dallas, are gone, man, if you could grab one of those tight ends to put into this offense and become a true, because I've never felt, and Keith, you watched them all season, you studied them. I never believed that Dalton Schultz was that security blanket for Dak. You know what I mean? Like that high-end security blanket. But I think a Dalton Kincaid could be that, Keith. I feel like a Michael Mayer or a Luke Musgrave, those the other two, you know, Musgrave and Dalton Kincaid are more athletic than Mayer. But I feel like those guys could be high-end, all three of them could be high-end security blankets for Dak Prescott.
No, I like you invoking a tight end position. And, man, you listing out. So we went wide receiver, we did running back, we did tight end. So it sounds like the Dallas Cowboys got to get even more active in the free agency and into the draft, right? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, you talk about the running back position. Tony Pollard is a great slasher, right? But I have to be honest, man. I'm a little nervous about him just completely being the RB1. And I want to draft a complimentary piece. So if I'm not able to get Bijan Robinson – I don't know if I like Jahmyr Gibbs paired with Tony Pollard because I feel like it's kind of a repeat type situation. Yeah. So I think you kind of circle Bijan Robinson if you can get him, if he falls, right? If not, you move on to the second and third round. And obviously we've outlined running backs that we like, right? But with Tony Pollard, do you need more of a bigger back? So is this where you're looking more towards Zach Charbonnet or Kenny McIntosh or, you know, one of those type of backs versus one of those kind of more skilled, just, you know, just over 200-pound type running backs. Then when you look at the wide receiver position, I'm not sure who else I would like in this draft to pair with CeeDee Lamb outside of Quentin Johnston. I think Quentin Johnston is the perfect complementary piece to CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb is he operates out of the slot, and that's what people don't really understand. You know, he's a big body guy, but he's more of a slot wide receiver. Like, he's closer to Cooper Kupp than he is, you know, one of these dominant X wide receivers that just beats you.
Yeah, Amari Cooper.
He's closer to that. So, man, it's going to be interesting for the Dallas Cowboys. Man, they have a lot of holes that they still need to fill. They signed a big one on defense. They probably should still go linebacker. I'm thinking, you know, free agency. Maybe they go pick up Bobby Wagner so that way Michael Parsons could walk down.
They re-signed Leighton Vanderesh to a 2-year deal.
But Leighton has been injured in the past. So that kind of gives you cause to pause, man. But guess what? We're talking about the NFC East, man. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I think we have to talk about a rival of the Dallas Cowboys, man, because they made a big-time splash. We just talked about the tight end position being important for the Dallas Cowboys. But guess what? The Giants took care of that, man. So coming up next, we're going to talk about Darren Waller signing with the New York Giants and what that allows them to do at the back end of the first round as far as filling out the rest of this roster throughout the draft.
What is America's number one sports book? FanDuel. And if you are a new member, I've got some good news for you. You get a chance to be and have the no sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. You're not going to get that too many other places, guys. I promise you. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. You can do a lot of different things in terms of betting, and you can bet on everything from money line, point scores. If you're talking, you know, NBA threes drained, the player props, exclusive bets. It's a wide variety that really allows you to change your bets how you see fit. And you could combine your bets for a bigger chance, a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Man, Keith, when I saw the news, like I was hoping that the Raiders were going to be able to maintain their core guys, right? Especially because I believe they just extended Darren Waller, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I think they just gave him a contract. But when I saw the news break that he was being traded, I believe it was for a third-round pick, to the New York Giants, I said, man, this is a move that we may look back middle of the season. Like, this might have been the move of the offseason. Because, Keith, for me, I think back to Brian Daboll is a very observant individual. Look what we saw with granted, it's Patrick Mahomes. But you look what the Kansas City Chiefs had, right? They didn't have a lot of hot big names and reliable targets at the wide receiver position this year when they won the Super Bowl. But their mainstay, their main guy was Travis Kelce, a tight end, a receiver of sorts at the tight end position. Darren Waller is a former receiver, right? 4'4 guy, big body, ball skills. He can block. You can split him out. You can use him as whatever you want in terms of a mismatch piece. So for me, Keith, I love this move because I think what they should do or they could do, right? A lot of people are going to frown on this if they did it without having Darren Waller. And that's like go smaller receiver in the you know what I'm saying? Because Quentin Johnson more than likely does not fall to them, Keith. I don't foresee that happening. So a Zay Flowers, a Jordan Addison, you know, all those guys, if you put these small receivers, right, like a basketball team, if you want to have the you know, you think about having the Golden State Warriors, you want your Steph Curry, your Klay Thompson guys are going to play on the perimeter, you need somebody that can play in the paint, that can get those rebounds and do everything else. And Darren Waller can do that. So I think that could be the option that they take, but they also need a corner. So who knows?
I like the Darren Waller situation for the New York Giants, and especially when you talk about this roster, man, they like outside of Saquon Barkley, including Daniel Jones, there's nobody on this offense that scares you, point blank period. Like that's including the quarterback, offensive line, everyone else. There's nobody else in this offense that scares you. You need a difference maker at the end of the day, right? And you're talking about competing with the Dallas Cowboys, you're talking about the reigning NFC champs and the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And the Philadelphia Eagles have what? They have dudes, man. A.J. Brown is a dude. Devontae Smith is a dude. So you have to acquire those type of guys. And I like Darren Waller because of this. The middle of the field, man. And how many times have we seen with quarterbacks who may not be necessarily great quarterbacks, right? Those tight ends are easy checkdowns for them, right? They're easy, like you keep saying, security blankets. But it's because it's like, you know what? I'm already looking in the middle field. You're right in front of my face. If everything else messes, I'm going to just throw it to you, right? And not only throw it to you, you 6'6", 250 pounds. I hope you come down with it. So I think it's an easy security blanket for Daniel Jones. And so talking about the Darren Waller fit, now we got to talk about what it allows the New York Giants to kind of attack, right? And I think going into this, and that's why I really like what they did, because I think tight end was probably a second. It was a primary need, but people don't look at it as a premium position. So yeah, it's probably going to be a secondary need for them, right? It's going to be a secondary option for them. So it allows you to now go get a wide receiver, which I'm still trying to figure out if I like a Zay Flowers or a Josh Downs. Zay Flowers from Boston College, Josh Downs from North Carolina, Marvin Mims from Oklahoma, right? I don't know if I want those guys necessarily in the first round. Maybe in the second round they can fill it out with those guys. But, I mean, it's unfortunate, right, because Quentin Johnston is the 6'2 wide receiver in this draft, right, with the high upside. But I would look at Tennessee wide receiver Cedric Tillman also possibly – yeah, in the second round, because it's another big body guy who played well, man. People have to understand, like, he was doing his thing. Like, Jalen Hyatt gets a lot of credit, the speedy wide receiver at Tennessee, but Cedric Tillman was the more complete wide receiver at Tennessee, and I can see him having a really productive career. And we talk about, you know, comparisons, right? Like, this is a guy that kind of plays like a Hakeem Nicks for those Giants fans that's listening. So I really like Cedric Tillman, wide receiver from Tennessee, to kind of fill that role. And DP, so let's talk about corners, man. What corners do you kind of like in that range? Because they do need help in their secondary.
Man, I mean, because, you know, Wink Martindale, their DC, spent a lot of time in Baltimore, and he's a press man, physical defensive coordinator in terms of coverage. And I think you look at the Julius Brents, man. And I think that's a fit for me that, like, I think I fell upon that fit couple, like, when I did my mock, if I'm not mistaken, and a couple weeks ago. And so I just can't move off of that.
Yeah, okay, I like it. I like it. Now, let's talk about Julius Brents, the prospect, real quick. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a taller guy. And, yep. And for our listeners, and this is kind of a rule of thumb for taller guys, right? They're naturally higher hip, so they have longer legs, so they're not as quick twitch and explosive. So when you're talking about sinking in and out of your hips with wide receivers, right? So I want to ask you, is that any concern with you with Julius Brents and him playing in a weak Martindale system that is a man-to-man system?
No, not really, Keith. Getting eyes on him, you know, of course, what we watched the tape, you know, during the season, yeah. But seeing him down at in Mobile at the Senior Bowl against some smaller, you know, twitchier receivers. Right. And the one thing about it is, like, his ability to take away leverage and force them into his airway, in where he can use his length, he can squeeze, push him to the sideline. And now it's all about, like, from a quarterback standpoint, you got a 6'4 corner with like 80 plus inch, you know, wingspan and everything else, you're right. going to be a little more cautious in terms of, well, my receiver's down there somewhere. You're not going to say that with Brent's right in the hip pocket, because he's got the good ball skills to go up and make the play, but he also has the length to battle at the catch point. So I think, you know, in that case, I think I don't really have the concerns. Also, like, from a mental processing, this kid showed me a lot down in Mobile, too. Like, yeah, the patience, technique, all
top,
of it.
Top five performer, regardless of position, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and this is a guy that I had as a third-round guy, because he is a bigger corner. Yeah. You know, he played well against Quentin Johnston. But, you know, there were some things there that you're like, okay, how can he match up? But, listen, in one-on-one drills, that is a drill that's meant for the wide receiver to win. So, when you're a defensive back, you're at a disadvantage. So, I knew that. And then watching Julius Brents compete, stay in phase as a big corner, like, he started to check some boxes for me. And we have to talk about, not only that, I'm going to tell you, I put in my report, and you go check it out at thedraftnetwork.com, man, Julius Brents. I thought he can play safety. And I thought he could play safety because this dude is physical. Like, he would knock your head off. You're talking about a run support corner. This is a run support corner that almost support the run so much you want to put him at safety. So I like the pick for the Giants, because you pair him up with Xavier McKinney. You need those young, kind of feisty guys that start to turn things around, and you combine him with Kayvon Thibodeau. Now you start to have a young nucleus on the back end, plus the front end of Kayvon Thibodeau and the rest of this defensive line.
What, especially because you watched him more than I have, do you think Deontay Banks would be a good fit for Wink Martindale's system, the cornerback out of Maryland?
I like that too. So Deontay Banks, cornerback from Maryland, he's undisciplined at times, but everything else, he checks the box, right? He comes in at 200 pounds. I think he ran a 4.3 at the combine. Yeah. You see the athleticism. The ball skills are there. So, to me, I think he's a corner. And if those people are familiar with the draft cycle last year, he somewhat reminded me of Kyir Elam, the cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, who was playing at Florida year before last when he came out. He reminds me of him a little bit, where he may give up a few plays, but he also makes those plays. But he also ran a really good time, talking about Deontay Banks. So I like that pick too. I don't mind that at all for the New York Giants. But I think it's up to this, right? That they have options. They're adding one option at a time, right? As far as putting a tight end there, giving Daniel Jones. Because I think, hey, it's like, hey, if we paid him, we hope he play good. Now let's surround him with some weapons to go ahead right. and play good. But DP, man, listen, we said we had three topics to cover, man. We're down. We knocked out the first and the second. We're going to leave the NFC East, man. We're going to go to that competitive AFC West. And we have a guy that is seeking a trade, and running back Austin Ekeler. He got approval to seek a trade from the Los Angeles Chargers. So we're going to answer this question, one, of where we think Austin Ekeler should go, and two, is running back now a huge draft need for the Los Angeles Chargers?
Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Guys, you've heard me talk about this mobile game app. And if you've ever thought that you'd make a good GM, you got to give this game a try. It's not as easy as you may think to create a dynasty. When you want to really tap into that with Ultimate Football GM, you are responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, managing all the finances, including negotiating player salaries and terms, navigating your franchise through free agency, the draft, injuries, player personnel issues, and all the ups and downs of a season. All of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football Gym is completely free, playable offline, play on the go as you want and when you want to. Locked On NFL Draft listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On, all caps, in the game store. That's Locked On in all caps. So make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Austin Eckler, like this was kind of like this happened on day one of the free agency where the report came out and caught me by surprise, Keith, because he's a very pivotal part of that offense with Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. And Austin Eckler, you know, I think he's getting paid around $6.5 million. The Chargers did a good job paying him early. So then by a couple years into the deal, you're a bargain. You know what I mean? You're an absolute bargain. But now he wants more money. And it doesn't look like they're going to be able to negotiate and come to terms. So they're like, hey, you know, well, you can go ahead and we give you permission to talk to other teams. Keith, what's a team that comes to mind for you that should make the play for him and potentially give him a little bit more money to be a nice boost to their run and passing game because he's a dual threat type of running back?
Yeah, I think that's important that he is a dual threat type running back, man. And it's every team that we talked about need a running back, right? Like, I mean, hopefully they don't trade him to the Chiefs. I doubt they would do that.
God, no.
Buffalo Bills, right? The Cincinnati Bengals are another team that can use Austin Eckler. We keep talking about the Eagles with Bijan. Maybe they can just send a third, fourth round pick, and then they get a proven running back that's an upgrade, right? Instead of using a first round pick on Bijan Robinson. The Dallas Cowboys. I would like that pairing with Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard. I think that's, you know, a little bit better and is more balanced than finding another type slasher type guy. The Dallas Cowboys, man, there are plenty of teams because everybody says that they don't like running backs. And then so now they need running backs. So there are plenty of teams.
Don't like them until you need one.
Don't like them until you need them. So DP to any team, what teams popped you up? What team you think is the best fit for Austin Eckler?
Man, I'm gonna tell you, man, down in Chi-Town, baby, the Chicago Bears.
That's another
continue
team.
To add pieces for Fields, man.
I like
and he
that.
Can help
like
Fields that. as a security like blanket.
And they have the cap space. You have the cap space.
Yep.
You can sign him. Possibly that second round pick you just received. Flip that into Eckler. Maybe it's a third round pick, right?
Yeah.
Flip that into Austin Eckler, another proven guy to where you really want to put Justin Fields in position to where it's, hey, we gave you everything. Now we get to see if it's you. You get what I'm saying? Like if you're the problem. And that's what the position you want to put as a GM. You want to put your quarterback in that position to where I surrounded you with every weapon possible. Now if we don't succeed, you're the problem. So I actually like that, DP. I like that move.
And Keith, to your point, that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite concepts for teams is, man, because it's easy when you draft a quarterback that has some rawness to him, but you don't do your part, right? Like, they can blame you. They can blame the front office. Like, well, you didn't improve the offensive line. You didn't improve defense. You didn't give them any weapons, right? Look what Philly did. You know, we talked about it on our very first episode a month ago. Philly said, you know what? Jalen Hurts, we know you can run the ball, but we want to improve you as a passer, and you're consistently working on your game from a mechanical standpoint. So let's go get you A.J. Brown to pair with Devonta Smith. Yep. Right. And Dallas Goedert. So that's when you're a GM and you're a front office, you take the blame out of your hands by saying, here you go, Justin Fields. We gave you Austin Eckler. We gave you DJ Moore. Maybe we use that ninth pick in the draft and give you JSN. Now, if you don't throw for 4,000 yards and you throw for more interceptions than touchdowns, buddy, you are the problem. Taylor Swift said it. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. It's going to be Justin Fields, dog. So I feel like Austin Eckler would be a really nice piece there. And he will pair well with Khalil Herbert because they're not going to bring back David Montgomery. I highly doubt it, nor do I think they should. So you bring in Austin Eckler, him and Herbert, both kind of smaller stature, low center of gravity backs, but you can pair them in, you know, on the field at the same time. You can run the ball with either one of them, but with Austin Eckler's ability to catch the ball and be dynamic in the screen game, in the flat game, you know, just in space, man, I think that could really help. Because at the end of the day, Keith, you know how much and how easy it was for Joe Burrow, right, to look at Ja'Marr Chase, Terrace Marshall, and Justin Jefferson, But you know what? I got Clyde Edwards-Helaire who can whoop any of these linebackers on choice routes, on the arrow route, the Texas angle route, and break back inside in the middle of the field. You know, you saw firsthand how pivotal that was to Joe Burrow. So I think that's what, for me, I love the fit to Chicago. And then I think the other spot I would say, New England. I think New England would be big because you think he could fill that James White role with ease and pair well with Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, no, I actually, that's a sleeper pick right there. Then I thought about, you know, the cap darlings of the NFL, the New Orleans Saints, right?
Right.
Because they know what to do with those dual threat running backs. We know the legal situation in, you know, with Alvin Kamara is still developing. But real quick, before we get out, DP, we want to talk about draft fits and situations with the Los Angeles Chargers. We know that they drafted Isaiah Spiller last year. Was it the third or fourth round? So I'm going to go ahead and throw one name that I really like. Well, I'm going to throw two names. I like Tajay Spears, running back from Tulane, to fit there, slasher type. And I like running back from Oklahoma, Eric Gray. And I think those are two complimentary pieces with Isaiah Spiller that I would like with the Los Angeles
Chargers. I would throw one more in a similar mold and body type as those guys, Devin Achane from Texas A&M.
That's another good one.
I think you either one of those guys – if you, because I think if the Chargers offensive staff say, okay, we're gonna really run the rock with Isaiah Spiller and really put you back into situations where you were comfortable when you were at A&M, where people looked at you as a potential second round pick, you know what I mean? Before, like, you didn't test it the way people wanted you to, but I feel like, you know, putting him there with Isaiah Spiller with either Spears, Eric Gray or Devin Achane, man, that's a really nice 1-2 punch, kind of thunder and lightning, to where you continue to have a really good run game, but you can make splash plays with it as well. And always, you got Justin Herbert, so you know teams are going to gear up and more than likely pay too high. So I love that. I love those fits, man, to the Los Angeles Chargers, man. So listen, guys, it's been another great show. You know, another great show. Talk, you know, all this news from free agency, as we told you guys, you know, yesterday, we're going to continue to talk about this the whole week because there's just so much news. We're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers to the Jets and see what the draft compensation and all that will be, so we can talk about that too. But listen, as always, we thank y'all for all the love and the support. Please go to your favorite audio podcasting apps, right? Subscribe, download, share it. You know, leave a 5-star review, listen to every episode, go to YouTube, go ahead and smash that subscribe button, like, comment, and as always, hit the smash the bell notification so you're notified and you can come and enjoy any of any content that we drop on the channel. Listen, thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today. Tomorrow, we're getting into whatever's going on in free agency. I'm telling you, we're going to keep going. So for Keith Sanchez, you can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. You can find me, Damian Parson, DP_NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.